The following sermon was recorded at Compass Bible Church in Naples, Florida. For more information on Compass Bible Church, visit our website at compassnaples.org.
Well, please open your Bibles to Proverbs 13. We are continuing the 31-day challenge, reading a proverb a day in the month of May. All right, honest time, how many of you are still doing this? Oh, great, fantastic, wonderful. Well, if you are, you may have noticed that things changed in the book of Proverbs in the last week. Proverbs 1 to 9 is actually a cohesive message, but starting in Proverbs 10, the actual proverbial sayings begin. So it's a bit random. And the book of Proverbs, starting in chapter 10, sort of goes from topic to topic to topic. Every few verses, it's changing. And our topic today is going to take us to a few different places in Proverbs. We're talking about friends. Friends and the important role that they play in whether or not you stay on course, setting your compass on Jesus, running the race with your eyes fixed on him. And last week, we talked about mothers, how their influence can absolutely change the world, godly mothers, godly parents, or, to be honest, the lack of that is a major contributor to the direction and decisions of our lives. You know, and as we're growing up, other adults also play a significant role, a huge role, for better or for worse. Other relatives, grandparents, neighbors, teachers, coaches. But every parent knows there is another voice whose influence is huge and can often drown out the voice of mom or dad. It's the influence of friends, right? Peers, really at any age. There's a reason why we talk about peer pressure. Okay, it's a real thing. And driven by our need to belong, we want to be liked, we want to be included and fit in. The fear of man, the approval of man, especially among our peers, is something you never really outgrow. I mean, it's a human thing. We just have to come to grips with it. But the influence of our friends is huge. So Proverbs 13:20, it's a verse I just want you to look at now. I put it on the screen too. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. But the companion of fools suffers harm. So companion right there, it's a good word for what we're talking about today. Because when we're talking about friends, we're talking about those people outside of your family who mean the most to you. Not just people you know, okay, acquaintances, but those you keep company with, companions, people who you walk life with. Paul warns us about the company we keep in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. He says, do not be deceived. Bad company does what to good morals? Corrupts. It ruins good morals. Bad company, the companion of fools, will suffer harm. So don't be fooled by bad friends. Don't be fooled if you have them. Don't be deceived that you'll be okay if you have bad friends. I'll be okay. I can handle it. I'm going to influence them for good. Don't be deceived. The companions you choose in life matters. It's huge. In fact, the quality of your friendships is a major contributor to your overall health, spiritually, physically, socially. And this is not something you can opt out of, okay? Friendship's not an option. Let's look at a few verses in Proverbs. Well, I don't want to take any risks, so I'm not going to have any friends. All right, Proverbs 18:1. Let's look at it. Whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. Okay, so you can't have no friends. It's not a good option, not good judgment. You have to engage with others. It's necessary. So if I can't have no friends, what's the other option here? What about having lots of friends? Well, you shouldn't have too many friends. Look at Proverbs 18:24. A man of many companions may come to ruin. In the NIV, it says, a man of unreliable friends, they bring ruin. So you can't have no friends. You can't have too many friends. But the ones that you choose matter. Proverbs 12:26. This is in the NIV. It says, the righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. So the friends you choose matter deeply. They influence you. So here's our big idea today. I'm not strong enough to have bad friends. I'm just not strong enough to have bad friends. You need to be very careful. Don't be fooled. Don't be deceived. Nobody wants to suffer harm. So are you hanging around some fools? Hanging around some angry people? Hanging around some immoral people? Okay, I'm not judging those people. Maybe they are lost. They don't know Jesus. God loves them. He wants us to be lights in the darkness. But friendship evangelism with fools and with the wicked is very dangerous. How many of your friends are in that category? You need to tell them about Jesus. They need to hear the gospel. But you need to be careful about making them your close friends. The good news is we actually get to choose our companions, right? We have some control. We have a choice. You don't get to choose your family. Deal with it. That's another message, you know. But you can choose your friends. You have a choice. And we need some wisdom here. So what does God say about friends? What does it mean to be a good friend? What are the signs of a bad friend? You know, we want the life-giving provision of a good friend to help us stay on course. So let's lean into what God says. Let's listen to him. Let me pray for us. Lord, this is something that touches all of us. Maybe we're not pushing hard enough. We don't really have good friends, and we need to hear your word on that today. Lord, maybe we're people pleasers and we have too many friends, and some of them are a bad influence on us, Lord. We want to turn that around and be a better influence on our world, but we're not strong enough, God. We need you, and we need good friends in our lives who will help us to stay on course. So tune our ears and help us to see our own lives for what you want to say to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so what does mom always say? If you want a good friend, then start by being a good friend. Exactly. So as we look at some of these qualities of good friends, let's be sure we're evaluating our own lives as well, and be that kind of person for other people. So friends that help you stay on course. Number one, are dependable in hard times. And let's just look at a few Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. So you don't really know who are your true friends until the hard times come. Adversity. Anybody been through some adversity recently? Think I've been through some adversity recently? has a way of clarifying relationships. And, you know, it's tough. It's tough realizing someone you thought was a friend isn't really a friend. But those who are, when the hard times come, it deepens those relationships. So I'm grateful for that, for those dependable friends. Proverbs 18:24. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. So a true friend is like a family member, but even better. I mean, a true friend can even be closer than a family member. You know, when a friend is going through a hard time, they don't need space to figure things out. They need you. They need dependable friends who love them, who stick with them at all times. You know, I'm not going to bother him. I'm just going to give him some space. You know, he's going through a hard time, and, you know, I'll just kind of keep my ear to the ground, and when he resurfaces, I'll say, hey, how you doing? In the very moment that friend needs you the most, be there for them. Hard times have a way of sifting out kind of the superficial friends. Proverbs 19:4. Wealth brings many new friends, yeah, but a poor man is deserted by his friend. So this kind of reveals the opposite, you know, and each one of these sort of has an opposite, and this is a bad friend. It's a fair-weather friend. True friends are made for adversity, but bad friends desert you when times get tough. You know, when times get tough for you, and they will, you're not strong enough to have bad friends who desert you. You need dependable friends. Talk is easy. It's cheap. Many will say they're your friends, especially in the good times, but when adversity hits, the one who's dependable, the one who's there, is a good friend. They'll help you stay on course. Okay, that's number one. Number two, friends that help you stay on course, this is an interesting one, they're honest about their sin. Right, so Proverbs 28, verse 13. Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. So a good friend leads the way by being vulnerable and honest. You know, first by being just honest about their own issues and weaknesses and sin. Now, they're also honest about your issues and tell you, and we're going to get to that in a minute, but a good friend starts by being honest about their own sin. So here's the opposite, okay? A bad friend, never showing weakness. Deceptive, even hiding their sin. Never showing or talking about their weakness. The guy's perfect. The guy doesn't have any problems. He doesn't have any issues. Even worse, concealing their sin. Okay, this is like keeping garbage under your bed and hoping no one will notice. All right? You might get away with it for a while, but give it a week. Ooh, it will catch up to you. I mean, it smells. People notice. But somebody who's hiding it, being deceptive, not being honest, they're not being a good friend. Because part of being honest about my sin is being honest that I don't see all my sin. Okay? And I need a good friend who will help me to see my sin. Now, our family backgrounds have all left us a little weird, okay? You know, you think about how you grew up and your home and your family and mom and dad, and man, it's just, you know, it's made us a little weird. But we don't see it because we're immersed in it. It's just how we are. So we need honest friends who are outside of our tight-knit family who will help us see our stuff. But this is something you have to invite people into. You know, a good friend will actually lead the way in this by inviting other good friends into their lives to help them see what they don't see. So tell me how often you hear this from people. Help me see myself. Help me get sharper for Christ. Will you help me to stay on course? We don't hear that as much as we should, right? We think we're okay and think you're okay. We're not going to talk about that. No, help me. Help me see what I don't see. Now, if you don't have anyone good enough to play that role in your life right now, some of the, you know, can do that for you, here's the problem. The problem is actually you. Sorry. You don't have the right people around you in your life to help you become all that God desires for you to be. You're not strong enough to have bad friends, but again, the good news is you can do something about that. You need to look for some new friends, okay? I don't know who to ask. I don't think there's anybody in my life who could do that for me. You need to find some new friends, friends who are dependable, friends who are honest about their own sin, friends you can trust so that you can be honest with your sin. Church should be a good place to start with that. But to find these, you need the next thing, all right? So number three, friends that help you stay on course are trustworthy. Are you a trustworthy friend? You know, when people open up to you, when they're honest with you about their sin, can they feel confident that you have their back? That you'll handle that information in a way that benefits them? So the opposite, a bad friend, is a gossip, a slanderer. They can't be trusted with the kind of honesty that true friends need to display. Proverbs 16:28. A dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. In Proverbs 17:9, whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. You ever had that happen to you? It's disappointing. Breaks trust. You know, healthy friendship, though, is going to require risk. It requires some vulnerability. It requires courage. But it sure helps to have a trustworthy friend. It makes it easier to take those risks and do that. So we've probably all been in this situation, and you need to be really careful. You're in a conversation with some people, and someone in the circle starts gossiping about others, slandering others, saying things about somebody. And it's easy from a human perspective to get sucked into that because you feel like, ooh, I'm on the inside. I didn't know. This is special that you're sharing this with me. And you get sucked into it. But people who say things about others, guess what they'll probably do when you're not around? You know, they'll probably talk about you in the same way. So we know better than to open up and be honest about our sin with those people. So you're just not strong enough to have bad friends. If you want trustworthy people in your life who you can be honest with about your sin, start by becoming a trustworthy person. And trust will open the door to the next thing. Friends that help you stay on course. Number four, speak the truth in love. Tough love. All right, maybe another way to look at this. Proverbs 27, verse 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Proverbs 20, verse 30. Blows that wound cleanse away evil. Strokes make clean the innermost parts. Iron sharpens iron, Proverbs 27. And one man sharpens another. So when iron sharpens iron, if you've ever done that or seen that, you know, sharpening a blade using another blade, it creates friction, creates heat. When a friend wounds you, it hurts. But there's a difference between hurting someone and harming someone. Can you see that? It's not the same. Hebrews 10:24 says, "Let us consider how we can stir up one another to love and good deeds." Another translation says, "Spur one another on to love and good deeds." So a spur, we've talked about this before. You know, it's the thing on the back of a cowboy's boot, all right? And what do they use that spur for? To get the horse going. And they got to hurt the horse, but not harm the horse. Do you see the difference? Pain is actually necessary to protect us from harm. And a good friend, because they love you, they will inevitably hurt you with words that are respectful, they're true, but they're direct, they're blunt. What did we say last week? What are you doing? You know, we need friends like that in our lives, not just our mother. You know, what are you doing? What are you doing? Honest and loving reproof, correction, it's critical for us to grow in wisdom. And it's a sign of wisdom. Look at Proverbs 28:23. "Whoever rebukes a man, a wise man, will afterward find more favor than he who flatters with his tongue." I mean, we appreciate it, don't we? When a friend has a courage enough to come to us and say, "What are you doing? I love you, but I see some things happening in your life that concern me. I may or may not be right, but if I didn't say something to you, I wouldn't be a good friend." And they do that privately. They get your attention, and they tell it as they see it. What do you think of that person? Do you go, "What a jerk"? No. You're like, "Thank you so much. Thank you that you care enough about me to say stuff." So the opposite of that is a bad friend who's a spiritual wimp. No courage to tell a friend the truth and give them an honest appraisal. So this is what is often lacking, I think, in the lives of many of those who audition for shows like American Idol or America's Got Talent in the early phases, right? I don't watch these shows really much at all, but I've seen the commercials and you're like, "Are you kidding me? How did that person think they should be on this show? You know, that was terrible." Now, yeah, maybe it was just staged for entertainment, or maybe they actually thought they were good enough because no one loved them enough to be honest with them and tell them in love, "You're a great friend, but you know what? Keep your day job. This is not your thing." You know, you need good friends who will tell you the truth in love. Enemies are the ones who flatter. Enemies are the ones who give kisses when love demands reproof and correction. Faithful are the, what does it say? The wounds of a friend. Okay, wounds hurt, but they're not to harm you. So as important as confronting in love is, number five is really important. Friends that help you stay on course know when grace is needed. Okay? Proverbs 17:9 again. "Whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends." So the opposite of a friend who knows when grace is needed is this cop mentality. All right? We know this figure of speech. It describes someone who's always looking over your shoulder, see if you mess up. They feel some responsibility to point out every time you fail and to remind you of all the other times you failed because I'm your friend, going to tell you this, all right? No, grace, forgiveness, covering offense, not bringing it back up once it's been dealt with are important parts of being a good friend. You have to have grace at the right time. And then six, friends that help you stay on course are realistic. Proverbs 25:20 says this. Whoever sings songs to a heavy heart is like one who takes off a garment on a cold day and like vinegar to soda. All right, true friends are appropriate. They're not out of touch. They don't make things worse for you. So the opposite of a realistic friend is this person, the overly cheery friend, kind of artificial, sort of surfacey. And maybe you've had this kind of a friend. They think they're bringing you joy, but they're actually depriving you of the warmth, of the compassion, of the sympathy you need. And these kinds of friends are as worthless as vinegar neutralized by washing soda. And if you ever poured vinegar on soda, it also makes a mess. All right, just bubbles up everywhere. Makes things worse. Three examples of this. Okay, the look on the bright side guy. You tell him you've just lost your job. Well, at least you have your health. Oh, thanks. I think. The class clown guy. Not a serious moment with him. You tell him something serious, he cracks a joke in the name of good fun. And that's fine in good times, but you know, when you're hurting, when you're in adversity, you need a realistic friend. And then the third, the super spiritual guy. You confess some struggle you're having, and all he can say is, well, praise God in all circumstances. You know, and they walk away whistling their favorite hymn. You know, again, thanks. But, you know, good friends don't want you to just stay in the muck of depression. That's not what we're talking about here by being realistic. But this proverb is about the superficial, sing-songy friend who just glosses over your heavy heart. All right, we don't need an eternal optimist. We need a realist, somebody who knows there's more to life than just feeling good. If feeling good is all we need, then just cheer me up. You know, say something to kind of get my mind off of it. Give me some positive thinking. But that's not what a real friend just doesn't want us to feel good. A real friend wants us to be good, not just feel good. They don't want to just put a colorful Band-Aid on an infected wound. You know, Snoopy Band-Aid, will that help you feel better? No. Instead, they want to help you clean it, dress the wound, and actually heal it. And they're willing to enter into that pain, some of that mess, in a compassionate, loving, realistic way. And then finally, friends that help you stay on course, focus on the heart. Proverbs 20, verse 5. The purpose in a man's heart is like deep water. But a man of understanding will draw it out. Okay, the proverb here speaks of the depths of the human heart. You know, some of the big, kind of hairy questions that we have to answer. Why do we do what we do? What really motivates us deep down? You know, why am I tempted by this thing or that thing? You know, what is it that's making the sin so attractive to me? Where does my anger come from? Where do my fears come from? My cravings, my lusts? It's like deep water. And I need somebody who's willing to help me draw it out. A man of understanding is someone who helps you discern the motives of your heart. They know how to probe beneath the surface. They've developed that trust. They not only are seeking God's wisdom, they actually want to get to know you. They want to get to know you and why these things happen and what your struggles are, and they want to get to know the heart. So these sorts of friendships aren't built overnight. But this is a goal that we need to strive towards if we want to stay on course. If we want to stay in the race, we don't want to get sidelined. First, to be friends who know one another so well that we become men and women of understanding to each other. So where do we start? And, you know, true, real friendship is born out of mutual interest. If you make friendship your goal, I want to be your friend. I mean, that's just kind of weird. And it may not ever materialize. But if we pursue a common goal together, hey, I want to go here, but would you go with me? Could we do this together? I need help. I don't want to do this alone. So there's a common goal. Real friendship can actually result out of that. But here's the good news. We have this in the church. We have a common goal, pursuing Jesus, setting our compass on him, following him, staying on course. It's a common goal, you know, and becoming like Jesus is a lot harder than running a marathon, a lot of other things that we would never think of doing alone. I need a team. I need a trainer. I need help. Following Jesus is a common goal that can bring us closer together, deeper friendships. Don't do it alone. You're not strong enough to do it with bad friends. We need good friends who will help us stay on course. So a good friend is actually, this is a way to think of it, they're on the same journey with us. Now, they don't have to be just like us. That's not what a friend is defined by. We're so alike. No, but we have to be going the same direction. That's what discipleship is. We've talked about this. A long obedience in the same direction. Well, let me add a phrase to it. It's a long obedience with others in the same direction. That's discipleship. But we have to make some choices. And I often say to people who aren't sure where to begin with this, where to begin with following Jesus, what do I do? Find the godliest person you know and spend time with them. Call them up. You know, make them a companion. Hopefully you can find that at church, but you can't just wait for it to happen. Wait for them to call you. No, you make the call. You invite them to lunch. You join the small group. You find a place to serve with other people. Get that common goal. Find these kinds of friends. And remember what Mom said. If you want to find good friends, be a good friend. Be a good friend who's dependable, who's honest about your own sin, who's trustworthy, who's courageous enough to speak the truth in love, but you know when grace is needed, who's realistic, who focuses on the heart. I need more friends like that. Do you? Yeah. Well, let's do it together. All right? And let's begin now. And even now, today, afterwards, get to know some people. Next week, let's spend some more time hanging around, getting to know each other, and let's do this together. It'll help us stay on course. Let me pray. Lord, this is an important word. And Father, I pray for those who right now are feeling discouraged because they don't have good friends who are dependable, who love them enough to help them follow you. We confess that sometimes it's because we haven't been the best friends to others. Lord, we want to stay on course. We know desperately that when we get off course, we suffer harm. It's not just hurtful, it's harmful when we stray from the course that you've set for us. So Lord, give us good friends. Help us to be good friends. Help us to spur each other on toward love and good deeds. Let us not neglect meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. And Lord, we confess we've been in the habit of neglecting the fellowship of good friends, followers of Jesus who will help us. Lord, we repent of that, and we commit ourselves afresh to make our close friends good friends. And we'll be that ourselves. So give us strength by your Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.